early marriage. I guess when we left off, Granddaddy was getting a new job at the Royal Feed Mill. And I think you said that his daddy helped getting that job.
Mm-hmm.
Did his father work there? I think you said he did.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What did his father do there? Do you recall or did you ever know?
Oh, he was just a little foreman there.
A little just a little foreman, you know, just.
Well, they just call a little. In those days, you know, I mean, there was no. I don't imagine that much any more pay.
Uh-huh.
But you just had less. You didn't have to work as hard, and you had. You could just oversee certain things done. You know?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But that's something, you know. That's an accomplishment in that day.
Oh yes. That's what he did, and he was a because he knew a lot about the work,
you know. Uh huh. What did they do there?
They had it was a mill that made feed for stock.
Oh, I see. So I guess grain would come in.
Uh-huh.
Corn or whatever.
Yes, all of that. Yes, it was a grain mill.
Uh-huh.
And what they did in there, I don't know, it was a great big place. And
big and dusty and hot.
Yes. Dusty, I know.
Uh-huh. With all kinds of weevils around the place.
Just because they say that is, you know, Mr. Real died of TB.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm. He got out here at Cook County.
I didn't know. At Cook County?
Mm-hmm. He came here. By that time, his, Vivian had come here.
Uh-huh.
And, all the rest of the Campbell brothers
mm-hmm.
had come here. I don't guess if Vivian told you, but Vivian could tell you about this, but they had some kind of moving van business or something.
Yeah, she told me that. Mm-hmm. But that being taciturn as she is,
mm-hmm.
she just mentioned mm-hmm. they had a moving van business, and that was about the extent of it.
Uh-huh. And, so then she came, then after he developed TB, and he was out in the hospital there, in Memphis.
Uh-huh.
And he stayed there, I don't know how long he was there, I guess he might have been out there a year. I really don't recall the, you know, the time.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, his wife, in the meantime, she just didn't want to have any part of it.
Mm-hmm. So, because he was sick?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Vivian came and got her father.
Uh-huh.
And he couldn't, I used to go and get him when he was there, while he was there. They allowed them out
of the hospital.
Visitation, you
see. Uh-huh.
And then he had no place to come except my house. And he would come and I would fix dinner for him. And then I would get someone to take him back. They couldn't spend the night out because, see, that being contagious, you see, they couldn't.
Yeah.
So, and I had children, you see.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they let them out at all. I guess.
Mm-hmm. If you didn't have a temperature or whatever, you know.
Yeah, if it had gone into.
Uh-huh. And he was able to walk around at he was in bed, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello?
Mother?
Uh-huh. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Uh-huh. See, he wasn't in bed. He was able to walk around.
Mm-hmm.
So, finally, he just, Joseph just didn't, she didn't want him at her house. She didn't want him to come back there. She wouldn't let him come back there.
Mm-hmm.
So she came, Vivian came and got him. And
mm-hmm.
brought him here. And carried him out to Cook County. And that's where he died out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he might have stayed out there. But Vivian can see how long he probably stayed out there. A couple of years, I imagine.
Uh-huh.
And before he died.
So what did Granddaddy do when he started at the mill there?
Oh, I don't know, honey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because I don't know what they did there.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I wasn't familiar with what they did. If it had been like at the furniture factory, I could tell you he worked on a ripsaw or on a planer or whatever.
But
for me, it was what they did there, you know.
Yeah.
Or in the finishing room or whatever, you know.
Uh-huh.
But what I just wasn't familiar with what they did over
uh-huh.
there. I really don't know. I don't really, I don't know.
Were the two of you still together at that time?
No.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no.
We went back together at first I wasn't converted. And I thought, well, we have the children. After I was converted, I said, well, then maybe the Lord will help me to stay with him, because I wanted to stay with my children's father.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to think of all my mother and my mother's sisters and all, they had stayed there. They had just always stayed with their husbands, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know.
Didn't know no different.
No, because mm-hmm. they were just all my...
That's just the way it was done.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it was. I mean, you just didn't... They just were there.
Mm-hmm.
So, Uncle George was just as much my uncle as Aunt Babe was, you
mm-hmm.
know. And I just, that's the way I thought it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, then we did go back... We did go back together. And, but he would do all right for about 2-3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And then, first thing you know, he would have lost all his money and come home with nothing.
Uh-huh.
And
here we go do too.
Here we go again. I said, well, and I just couldn't keep on doing that. The way I was, I mean, see, that was working, and depending on him for certain things, you know, I went and went, and I was buying groceries and paying the furniture bill and buying the children's clothes and all. And
mm-hmm.
That's the usual thing that you do.
Yeah, sure, sure.
And then when you plan the week, I mean, the end of the week, you plan that you do this and you do the other, and you got there, got home, then there he was, and he hadn't shown up.
Mm-hmm.
And when he did show up, sometime after, maybe by midnight or something, then he didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Where were you working at that time? At the furniture factory, wasn't it?
Where was I working?
Mm-hmm.
No, at that time when he left the last time, I was working. I was cooking for Miss Halliday.
Mm-hmm.
I was. Those were hard times then. I had a. We were making $5 a week then, and $6 a week. But I was making $8 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I had to pay 98 cents for carfare. You'll never forget that, because carfare was 7 cents. You see,
uh-huh.
I had all that. I had it all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
14 cents a day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because this woman that I worked for, she wasn't one of these society women, and they never accepted her, because all they did was sit around and play mahjong and have tea and discuss how much they were going to pay.
Uh-huh.
So she didn't know what the other women were paying.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So I just worked it out like that.
Uh-huh.
She knew I needed it.
Uh-huh. That was your first job as a cook?
Huh?
Was that your first job as a cook?
No. No, I had... no, I had worked for the Morrises before then.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to the holidays.
Uh-huh. You remember anything about the Morrises?
I didn't do much cooking, so she did the most cooking, but I was a nurse then, you know?
Uh-huh.
But I guess at the holidays, maybe that was the first straight out cooking job that I had, you know.
Uh-huh.
That I took charge of the kitchen, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And she had nothing to do with it, but she just planned the meals, you see, and I took it from there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas at the and Ms. Morris's, she did the cooking, and I did most of it. I did the cleaning and and nurse, just a little Marie.
Mm-hmm.
So. But then after that, I went from there.
That, when you, I remember you told me, I guess it was the last time we talked, that you did work at the furniture factory.
Oh, yeah, I worked at the furniture factory. That was when, Albert and I were work together then.
Uh-huh.
See, I was working at the furniture factory before he went to the Royal Feeding. He was working at Mrs. Tyler Light Company, and I was working at Mrs. Furniture Factory.
Uh-huh.
And,
how did you happen to leave the furniture company? Because I was under the impression that was considered a pretty decent job.
Oh, well, I mean, because they weren't paying but $6.05 a week, you know.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I left there.
To go to the Morrises.
I had been to the Morrises before I went to the Memphis Furniture
Factory. I see. You, I'm thinking that all of the domestic work was in a line there.
Oh, no.
And then you went to Memphis, Memphis Furniture Company, and then from there to where?
To the holidays.
Uh-huh. Because of the more money that she was paying. What were they like? What were the holidays like? What did they do? You remember?
They were hotel people. He was a hotel man. He was his father had, he had a hotel. Anytime you go to Memphis now, the Peabody Hotel.
Uh-huh.
His father was the part owner and the president of the Peabody Hotel.
Uh-huh.
And then they had a hotel in another one in Cairo, Illinois, called Cairo House.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's then I worked there. I guess I just worked there for 9 years.
Uh-huh. That's a pretty substantial chunk.
Mm-hmm. Because he had this little boy. He had two children.
Uh-huh.
Boys. And this little boy, Wilkie. I nursed him and I cooked they had a chauffeur, Sam Hatton. So the two of us worked there. So, and she would go, she was from Santa Monica, California.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd go to her mother's in the summertime. And Memphis is a place where nobody stayed in Memphis that was anybody in the summertime.
I see.
They went, they went to the mountains or to somewhere to the, well, they used to, they had a house, the Hallidays had a house in the Cape, up where you talk about where
yeah,
the Kennedys.
Cape Cod.
Up in Cape Cod.
Uh-huh.
So they went there every summer. And so a lot of people went, I mean, places like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
in the summertime. And so, and the children were out of school, and I wouldn't have a, I couldn't afford to, they only paid me half of my salary. And then you couldn't, it was just hard to get, it wasn't nowhere for you to get a job, you know,
uh-huh.
in the summertime. Well, everybody, the houses were closed and people were gone. They
yeah,
just left
sure.
and go. And so that's what I always did. I didn't have to bother because I went down to the hotel and worked, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And, then I was paid whatever they paid was paying down there, and then I was paid half of my salary that I was getting at
the house. Yeah.
So then that's what I would have, then I would, that's how I would have money to put my children's clothes in their way, you know.
Uh huh.
Winter clothes, you know, like coats and things and everything, and keep my house going, you know. Keep my bills, my furniture. I never got set out. My furniture, I never got set out in the streets anymore.
That was the end of that, huh?
That was the end of that.
is that the lady you told me once about? One lady that you worked for that was a fanatic for cleaning, having the house clean. Used to clean the corners of the closets and stuff. Was that her?
That was in the interval there. I left when I first left there. I went to Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
For 2 years, and I worked with that woman in Mississippi, Miss Lowe. She's the one that was that clean fanatic woman. She was the one that was. She said that Margaret King was cleaner than she was.
I didn't know that you worked for that woman.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes, sir. She said Margaret King was cleaner than she was.
I know she hated that.
Margaret King was a fanatic
uh-huh.
about her house.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's just the way she was. And then to take Vivian to tell you about that lady would pick these cotton sheets that they used to use the top cotton. When you pick cotton, you know,
uh-huh.
you come down to, before the cotton was weighed up, you took your sack and emptied it in the cotton sheet, and then you go and weigh it up in the evening, and they had them gravy little lower cotton sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss King had put them sheets and the big old black pots out in the yard and boiled them until they were white as any pecan sheets. And that's what she put around her stove when she cooked. So it wasn't in the grease, but I don't get on the floor.
Uh-huh. This
you can have your dying laughing about that woman.
Mm,
and mm. I can remember, because Mama used to talk about her, you know.
Uh-huh.
And of course she used to always, Vivian will tell you this, Miss King told her that, said that I was the only person, Mama was the only person that she allowed to put her baby in her bed, because see, Mama was a sort of fanatic too, you know.
Uh-huh.
And she said, "You mean have those dirty babies or something?"
Diapers oozing and carrying on.
I know when Madden was born, Miss Crump wanted to see you, and she just wanted to see my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had Marie to bring you all out there.
How did you find out that he needed a cook? How did you make that transition?
One of the members of my church, Maggie Spike, had been cooking out there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And she was going to give it up, so she told me.
Uh-huh.
And so I went, and of course, see, Miss Crump was one of these kind of women that she didn't like black people.
Uh-huh.
And, Cliff had gone, because Cliff said, you know, when I first came to Miss Crump's house, she said, the man, they told me, said, Miss Crump, the man, she knew how you, because she don't like black men.
Uh-huh.
And, but she had, but see, he was so proficient, you see.
He was so what?
He was so proficient, you see.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And he came with such high recommendations that she hired him. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And of course the same way with me, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And but she sure didn't, she didn't have I never waited on I didn't care anyway. I think when she had parties, luncheons or dinners or anything, I never served the table.
Mm-hmm.
She and Maggie and that other child. See, Maggie was about to, I guess Maggie was about the color Vera, the lighter. Both of them were about that color.
Mm-hmm.
And she liked them that color.
Mm-hmm.
But she liked me because I could cook to suit her, honey. And she liked the way Clint said she would come down there on Sunday. I just liked the way, it's a joy for me to walk in my kitchen. Well, yeah, I kept her kitchen. But
uh-huh.
And Maggie had her. Because Maggie could tell, she believed anything Maggie said. If Maggie, now she, Maggie was, she Maggie go up there and tell Miss Crump, and we used to always say, the sun could be shining bright as this, and then Maggie went up there and said, Miss Crump, it's just the rain.
Miss Crump, go get an umbrella.
Yeah, honey. You go there and say, oh no, Maggie said it was going to rain. And she said, how do you keep this? I used to never get the ice tray out of this refrigerator. How do you keep it? She said, oh, Maggie says it always used to freeze it. I said, how often do you defrost it? I said, I just defrost it once a week. Oh, Maggie used to defrost it once a week. And she said, then you must have defrosted more than that, because Maggie defrosted it once a week. You know, always.
Uh-huh.
See, Maggie get away with murder, you know.
Uh-huh.
She beat everything that Maggie said.
Huh. Wouldn't it dawn to her that maybe Maggie told her a lie and didn't really defrost it but once a month?
Uh-uh. And you know how long it takes, the refrigerator, how long it takes not defrost the refrigerator until you can't get the trays out?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And honey, it's got to be there for a while.
Well, of course. You had to take an ice pick and kind of, then pick them out.
Mm-hmm.
You had to defrost them on the refrigerator every week.
Uh-huh.
And of course, Maggie could always get the ice trays out. She, oh no, she told me I didn't have to, I didn't say anything to her. I just said, I just defrost it once a week, Miss Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have time to defrost it once a week because all of them, because I had more niggas to cook for than I did white folks, you know?
Uh-huh.
Of course, two maids and a laundress and a chauffeur and 2 yard men. You know, I had about five of them to cook for.
Uh-huh. Plus the white folks.
Yeah, plus the white folks. You
so
know.
You was in there working.
Yeah, I never got out of the. I never went beyond the breakfast room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't mind cooking. You know, I like to cook, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And cooking is my thing. And cooking is no chore for me. I mean, I know how to do it. And I know how to plan it. You know, so it didn't bother me.
Uh-huh.
That lady loved lemon cream pie, the lemon chiffon pie.
Uh huh.
And Mr. Crump loved cherry pies. And he used to always say, ah, it's one thing, when I get to heaven, won't you make, have you make cherry pies for me?
You ain't even getting to heaven.
You will never get there. I said, where are you going, honey?
Had this fascination for black folks too, I think, wasn't it? Used to try to keep abreast of everything that.
Yes, he said a maggot. There was something about they always like, because I'm gonna do my job.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm supposed to do my job, I'm gonna do that. You're not gonna have no problem out of me. And because that's whether you, I don't need nobody to watch me. Because I'm responsible to God first, so He sees me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm working for Him, and then you just paying me.
You know? Yeah, right. You just happen to be there.
Yeah. And so, because He has told me, give good measure, run over, shaken down, and heaped up.
Mm-hmm.
So, give good measure. So that's what I do. But then he was talking to the maggot. Maggot, what's the colored people doing?
Mm-hmm.
And she'd always be telling, you know. Then what and I used to notice, he'd come in every Friday with a roll package on his arm. And he's going up. I was just kind of curious. He got rolled up there.
You talking on the phone?
I said, when he got rolled up there?
Mm-hmm.
And so, naturally, I didn't clean up up there, so we come in, clean his room. And he left the wastage basket. See, so Clint couldn't read.
Uh-huh.
And so, he come downstairs, and he had this. He said, Bernice, he said, I want you to look at something. He said, what is this that this old devil got in here? See, he said, something not to be. He said, it's all cut up. What is that? What paper is that? And it would be the Chicago Defender.
Uh-huh.
In the Memphis World. See, Memphis World is a Memphis paper.
Uh-huh. Black paper.
Mm-hmm. And that, he'd have the Chicago Defender, the Memphis World, and the Pittsburgh Courier.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes he has Amsterdam News.
Mm-hmm.
And,
why do you suppose he had them newspapers?
He read them because he wanted to see what the niggas were doing. See what they were saying.
But what difference did it make?
I guess it made a lot of difference to him. It made a lot of difference to him. He just wanted to know. White people are just interested in, they just want to know.
Did he read white newspapers?
Oh, indeed so. The Commercial Appeal and the Memphis Press, sure.
He just read them all then?
Oh, indeed so. Uh-huh. Indeed so.
But he didn't want nobody to know he was reading them nigger newspapers.
And so he would just cut them up just fine and put them in that. He'd wrap them up and put them in. See, he knew Clint couldn't read.
Uh-huh.
But Clint, he would look in there and he would
see. He didn't know that Clint was your buddy.
So Clint, even though he didn't know Clint would have sense enough to look in there and know some cut, but he did have them wrapped up in some more paper, you see.
Uh-huh.
He just thought Clint would just take the paper basket, and just empty it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so when I told him, and so he put it wrong, he said, Clint just thought, he said, old bastard. He never liked you to talk he never liked the way I talked anyway.
Mm-hmm. What was wrong with the way you talked?
Because I just used kind of halfway decent English, you know.
Uh-huh.
He didn't like that. I mean, he didn't.
Too smart for him. Mm-hmm. We're the smart niggas.
But it was something about me that fascinated him, because for no reason at all. And he called me up there one day and was talking. I went up there one day. I was in Miss Crusher's, because I never went in his room, never. Because he walked around there with his shorts on all the time.
Uh-huh.
And no shirt on, it's his shorts and his drawers all the time.
Uh-huh.
And it was a big screened-in porch that opened off his room. And
they had separate rooms.
Because it was a big house, yes, and she slept in a bedroom on the other end of the house, and he slept, and then there was another bed, because it was a bedroom, and a bath, and a bedroom, that's his room, and then it's this big screened-in porch, with that off of his room, and then there was another bedroom between his room and her room.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go down the hall.
But why do you suppose they didn't sleep together?
Oh, I don't know, because I guess you got old like that. Mr. Crumb would be reading and doing something and all night. And
oh, yeah.
Up
uh-huh.
and down, you know.
Uh-huh.
And talking on the telephone. And she'd be in there in her room doing the same thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they never came down. They never ate a meal downstairs. You had to take the trays up all the time.
Uh-huh.
And she would go over and she ate dinner over there in his room if he was home.
Uh-huh.
And he was most likely at home, so she would eat over there with him. Set up a table over there.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
And
like a what kind of table? Like a card table, or did he have a whole big table up there?
Oh no, just set up a card table.
Uh-huh.
And put the trays on there.
This man's got servants, and he's got a card table in his room that he eats on.
Mm-hmm.
Probably had the biggest and finest table in the world, right down in the dining room.
Oh yes, honey. Yes, indeed. And all kinds of dishes. These gold dishes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that time. I wish I had one of them gold dishes I had in my hand when I dropped it that time.
Uh-huh. what was that? Tell me about that.
He used to always say, don't ever let the phone ring but one time. Don't care what you got in your hand, drop it and answer the phone.
And there you stood.
And he came through the back that day, Clint, and then was sitting at the table eating. And he was standing in the breakfast room, right there in the kitchen. And the phone was on a little stand, you know, sitting you could sit it inside the, you could just move it, you know, inside the, sitting on the stand.
Yeah.
And I just kept it sitting. I kept it sitting there in between the doors. I mean, right beside the door, inside the breakfast room.
Mm-hmm.
And half the time I didn't answer, because I didn't have to answer, you know, because there was other niggas that answered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I just happened to be standing there, and he was standing up in the breakfast room. He just had walked in. He just had gotten in. And I was standing there, and the floor, the kitchen floor, was one of these tile floors like in the bathroom.
Uh-huh, ceramic tile.
White. Tile.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the telephone rang, I had this glass in my hand. I just dropped it. Just the glass went right. Mr. Crump's residence.
Good grief.
I never cracked a smile, and he didn't. He just stood there and looked at me. I don't know what was through his mind. I wonder what was through his
mind. What in the world? I mean, weren't you scared he was going to fire you or something?
I had done what he told me to do. He had said, don't care what you have in hand when the telephone rang, drop it, because don't ever let it ring but once.
Uh-huh. And that's what you did.
That's what I did.
All over the floor. Trump's residence. It was the newsboy down the street.
He said, I almost got choked. He said, I wanted to laugh, so I was so tickled. Carrie said, honestly, said, you crazy? He said, and he was standing right there, and I just handed him the phone, but not a bit in the crack of a smile. And he didn't even just stand there, because he's a tall man, you know.
Uh-huh. I've seen a picture of him once, tall with white hair.
Mm-hmm. He was standing there, and I just handed the phone to him. And he went on and talked. And I just went right on out on the back porch and got the broom and the dustpan and went to sweeping up the glass. And as he went there, I said, I wish it had been one of them glass.
When the gold-plated trees, plates. She'd have fired you sure enough for that.
He might have, I don't know, but I sure did.
He would have fired you just after they picked him up off the floor. after he got his heart running again. So this time he calls you up in his room. What did he call you up there for?
Well, it was about this Kiefel was, Delson, he had his main man against Kiefel, and Kiefel won.
Mm-hmm.
So then he...
Kiefel was a senator, wasn't he?
Uh-huh. And that's the time that they had, somebody had come out during the night and wrote on the white steps of his, vote for Kiefel.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, and the whole, because the whole of Memphis, I guess I see a lot of Memphis and Memphis had voted, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and his man lost, so he talked and he said how much he had done for the colored people and the people who were there in the Mourning Garden and all that. And, how they turned. I said, you know, Mr. Trump, I really don't know how they turned out or what they did, because, you know, I was out here.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I was at work. I said, I really don't know. And anyway, he went on talking. And he gave me a raise. I was making, when I left there and came to New York, I was making $20 a week.
That was big money.
Yes, indeed, honey. He gave me a raise.
That must have been before you dropped that glass.
No, it wasn't the last I dropped it.
Huh.
You know, it's a funny thing about white folks. They, they will.
Are you talking to the phone?
I had turned the move that we should leave to do the turn the radio down.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, I had the mouth away from that. But it's a funny thing about white folks. If they can't figure you out, it sort of fascinates them about you. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Something they really know you, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you can't generalize with no one ethnic group.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And now they seem to think that you can generalize, you see.
With black folks.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And they put us all in the same category. And when they get one that that really question and read. That's another thing that you have, when that reads, you see.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of bothers.
Mm-hmm. What do you suppose that is?
I don't know. I really don't know. But I find that all white people that I have worked for, they all, naturally, in all places I've worked, they all have books, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They have plenty of books in their house. That's one thing, they have books. And that's books fascinate me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Miss Trump had this book, There's a Lion in the Street, and I asked her to let me read it. So she told me, she said, you can read that book. She said, but when you read it, don't bring it back and don't tell anybody that you got it out of this house.
Hmm.
After I read the book, and I realized that it was, I don't remember who wrote the book, but the person in the main character in that book was so much like Mr. Trump until it wasn't even funny.
Uh huh. What was the name of it again? There's a Lion in the Street.
There's a Lion in the Street.
Mm-hmm.
And when she gave it to me and I brought it downstairs, she just gave me a bag to put it in, because I was upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
in her bedroom. And nobody had ever, the rest of them didn't see me when I, didn't see it, you know. But then I just took it on home and I read it.
Mm-hmm.
And she and I never discussed it, never said anything about it.
I wonder if the book was written about him, if the character was based on him.
I have often thought about that. After I read it, I just wonder if that person had him in mind. Did he know him?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was so much like him, that kind of domineering kind of a person that... Everybody had to be subservient to him.
Mm-hmm.
He never called her. I don't remember him calling a person from the Attorney General on down to... Now, Senator McKellar was... Now, he's dead now, but he was a senator. A U.S. senator. And Ed McKellar. He never called him... Senator McKellar, he just called him Ed. Everybody, he called him by their first name. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody had to call him Mr. Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what with this character in this book.
How do you get a senator to call you Mr. Trump? Were you calling him Ed?
I don't know, but they did, honey. The Attorney General, everybody, and everybody that ever came in that house with you. Everybody you hear him talking to on the telephone. You never hear him calling nobody, Mr. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Crump.
Made him toe the line.
Yes, sir. He did that. But,
they made it a monument or something.
But they didn't. But he's standing out there in the Overton Park. You ever go to Memphis, they just big as life, this great big monument. The lights turned on.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that walking cane? Three or four of them.
Mm-hmm. What did he came for?
Well, that's just one of his tricks.
he just. You know, a long time ago, men used to eyeglasses and walking canes. Men used to carry them.
Uh-huh. Even though nothing wrong with the legs. Uh-huh. Just carry them.
Uh-huh. And they had gold handles and.
Uh-huh. I've seen them. I guess in Britain maybe they still carry them. I don't know where I get the idea that.
Lord Chamberlain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Trump had his.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing wrong with his leg, you know, that was just one of the things that he did. He just carried a cane all the time.
I think this picture I saw him in had a frumpy looking hat on too.
Mm-hmm. One of the little wide hats.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
What kind of dresser was he?
Oh, he was a neat dresser.
Uh-huh. Because I got the idea that he was kind of a frumpy dresser too.
Oh no. Mm-mm. No, honey. Just as stiff as a ramrod.
Uh-huh.
And straight as an arrow. And, nothing frumpy about him, honey. Nothing.
Uh-huh. What kind of name is Crump?
I don't know.
You ever hear anything about where his ancestors came from? Just...
No. He came from way down there. No, I don't know, because he just come back kind of in Mississippi, so I don't know. He might be somewhere in the middle, Irishman or somewhere. You know,
uh-huh.
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Because he just from right down there. It's poor. He was a nothing. And he had no, his family had no social background. And Miss Crump was the one, because she was a McLean before she was married to him, because there's street in Memphis name for her family.
Uh-huh.
McLean Boulevard. But he was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he must have been a handsome man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he just swept her off her feet. Boy, she could... When she used to get mad sometimes, she could... She didn't say it to him, and he would always do was going to give her an allowance for how much run the house on, you know,
uh-huh.
and whatever. Boy, she would be so mad someone, I remember. I don't guess it must have been about $25 or $30, something he was laying out there for her. She'd get up out of that bed because she was kind of kind of plump.
You wanna?
That was that.
Uh-huh. I guess before we leave Crump.
Huh?
I said before we leave Crump. There's one little episode that I want you to tell me about. At this restaurant, the impression that I get from this story is that the black folks that worked for Crump had a little bit of pull, had some like authority rubbed off on them because they worked for Crump.
Oh, indeed, so. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly did.
Is that
just like when you were over there in that hospital, you know?
Uh-huh. With,
And you did, and so you went white people to go over there and before this and ours. But you see, Nicholas didn't go in hospital.
Uh-huh.
But, when you were over there, I went by there and told her. I mean, I went by there just to see you. And I told the nurse. And because she was a little taken aback when I walked in there. What was I doing? Walked in there and I told her, and I said, I just want to, I told her that I worked in this club and I wanted to, oh, boy, she jumped the sky high. And then she Miss Crump sent you that the vase of flowers and that bed board.
Uh-huh.
Being there to write on or draw on or whatever, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then see Marie could go over there. And then they had to ask me. They asked, Marie said, Marie then said she started going on this. And I said, she asked her, the nurse asked her, see, if you don't mind, and if you don't, if you could come, don't come so early before this and hour, because the rest of them will, but they will be, wondering why they can't come.
Yeah.
So Marie said, she said she told, all right, she would.
Uh-huh.
She could go in that any time. And of course, it's like that when Clint went, like I told you, at the restaurant, you know, the police was going in and take shake down.
Mm-hmm.
He was going in and when he bought that, he first got that place over there. And these cops...
On Beale Street, wasn't it?
No, that was at Mississippi Walker.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. Where he is right at the four-way wheel, right where he is right now.
Uh-huh.
And he used to say, they used to come in and eat and walk out. And then Blanchman, they'd ask him, they'd ask him, tell him how much they owed, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they all know, well, these niggas don't you know that they could... What you mean? This is what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to give us this, you know, our breakfast.
Uh-huh.
For protection, you see, to keep somebody from coming in there raising sand, you know.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Crump had a Chrysler. That was the car that we did the running around in, you know.
Uh-huh. Hang on just a second.
And they said, they had, they saw this car parked out there. And Mr. Crumpton had some special number. And these policemen, they recognized it. You know. They said, whose car is that? Whose car is that out there? And somebody told me, said, oh, so that's Clint Lee's car. She said, that's Mr. Crump's chauffeur's car.
Mm-hmm.
She said, what is he doing? She said, this is his place. He said, boy. After that, Well, when they came in there, shelling out their money when they paid.
Yeah, with walking in the door with the money in their hand.
Yeah, honey. Yes, indeed.
Hmm.
Yes, indeed.
Interesting.
And I told you when I never did use mine too much. I don't know this one time that because they had a way of. I don't care how long you've been in line, they wait on all the white people before they wait on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gotten something there at Goldsmith. I mean, it must have been Lowenstein or someplace. It was Lowenstein.
Mm-hmm. What's that, department store?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And so this white woman was behind me. And I had been standing there, and so she was going to wait on her. I said, I was ahead of her, so she said. Oh. Well, I just wait. I said, well, that's all right. I said I was getting this from the lady from Mrs. Crump, from whom I work. And I said, I'll just tell her that I couldn't get weed on. And I said, if you can just take it there. Boy, you might have seen her doing that shit. Down, honey.
I know she did.
And then she threw it down just like it was burning her. But Miss Crump was sitting out there on Peabody. She wasn't nowhere near.
But she didn't know that.
Oh, she didn't know that. I know she didn't know it. You know?
That's why you said it.
I mean, I said it. Down there waiting for me, and I've been here so long.
No better for.
I tell you, honey.
Well,
that's the way it goes.
So when did you leave the Crumps? And we can wrap it up for.
When I left the Crumps, I left the Crumps getting away from John Henry, and I went to New York.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess next time we'll have to talk some about Big Daddy.
Oh, please, I don't even want to talk about
that. Come on, man.
I don't even talk about that nigga.
Come on, now. You can't do that.
Right. You can just skip that.
No, that's going to be the good part. I got them already.
Well,
you got to talk in the speaker.
Don't forget to bring them now.
Yeah, all right.
Because you see, getting them and
yeah, having them over here ain't gonna do nothing for your cold.
You said that's just like a good gal to buy you, and that ain't here.
That's right. So.
Okay then.
All right. So
okay,
thanks a lot.
Okay then.
And I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye bye.